الحمد لله الذي أعزنا بالإسلام وأكرمنا بالإيمان ورحمنا بنبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أيها الإخوة الكرام وأيها المستمعون والمستمعات، سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it pleases us to welcome you all once again to our live lectures with scholars and mashayikh of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. أيها الإخوة الأعزاء وأيتها الأخوات الفاضلات، يسعدنا أن نلتقي معكم في هذا اليوم المبارك في درب من دروب الخير وطريق من طرق النور لنستفيد في المسلمين وداعية من دعاتها. فبإسمكم جميعا يشرفني أن أرحب بأجمل الترحيب بضيف العزيز، ضيف هذا الأسبوع في اللقاءات العلمية مع مشايخنا الأفاضل وعلمائنا الأجلاء. أيها الأحبة، ضيف هذا الأسبوع هو فضيلة الشيخ الدكتور فهد بن سليمان الفهيد حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه. Brothers and sisters in Islam, as you all know, today we are supposed to start fiqh classes of our intensive courses in Islamic sciences. However, due to unexpected change in plans of our beloved Sheikh and due to extremely urgent matter, he asked to be excused today. However, we are pleased to have with us today one of our noble Sheikh, Fahd bin Sulaiman al-Fahid, hafidhahullah ta'ala wa ra'am. He is Uduhiyat al-Tadris fi Jamiat al-Imam Muhammad Saud al-Islamiyya. Wa nahnu nashkuruhu limuwafaqatih al-Karima wa istijabati da'watina raghma annana sa'annahu qabla daqa'if faqad. Fajadahu Allahu khayra al-jaza'. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we must thank him for making himself available for us with such a short notice. We asked him only a few minutes ago, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him the best reward. And inshallah ta'ala, as for the intensive courses, we will start on with our next scheduled class. Wa barakallahu feekum wa la urid an util alaykum fal'an atrukukum ma'a shaykhna al-habib falyatafaddal mashkuran ma'jura.
Jazakallah khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأحييكم إخواني وأخواتي في الله بتحية الإسلام، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. تفضل.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. So the Shaykh Hafidahullah Ta'ala, after praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, sending the salat and the salam upon our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family members and his companions, all of them, he said to proceed, I will greet you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters in Allah, with the greetings of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Tafaddal ya Shaykh, ahsanallahu ilaykum.
Wa ilaykum. Sami'tu an hadhihi ad-dawra التي تجتمعون فيها مع أهل العلم وتستمعون منهم شرحا لكتب العلم وتتفقهون في الدين وتأخذون عن الراسخين من علماء هذا العصر، فهذا يسر كل مسلم ومسلمة، وأشجعكم على هذا الطلب للعلم، وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يوفقكم وينفع بكم الإسلام والمسلمين. نعم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى continued by saying, I heard about this dawra, this session, that you gather or you can learn with the scholar, and you heard their explanation on books, so that you may earn the correct understanding of the deen, and that you are taken from those scholars who have a firm foot in this religion of these times. And he said, indeed, this is something that very pleasant, and therefore I encourage you, all of you, every male and female Muslim, that you continue in seeking knowledge, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you success and grant you that which is benefit you and benefit Islam and the Muslims. تفضل يا شيخ صلى الله عليك
وإليكم. أيها الإخوة في الله، طلب العلم الذي أنتم جلستم لأجله هو من أجل الأعمال الصالحة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، ويرضى الله عنكم بسبب هذا الفعل الجميل والعمل الجليل. طلب العلم من الطرق التي تسيرون بها ومنتهاها إلى الجنة، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما، يعني علم الشريعة، العلم الوحي القرآن والسنة، يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. والنصوص والأحاديث كثيرة جدا في فضل العلم وطلبه وفضل أهله. نعم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى continue by saying, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, indeed seeking knowledge is from the greatest affairs and deeds and the righteous deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you of that, because you spend your time trying to learn in this deen. He said, seeking knowledge by these ways that you are following, learning from the people of knowledge, it is from the things that will make you to the Jannah, and your abode will be in the paradise. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever follow a path seeking knowledge, and the Shaykh explains that the knowledge of the legislation, the knowledge of the deen, of the wahi, the revelation, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, that the Prophet said, whoever follow a path seeking this knowledge, Allah will make an easy path for him to the Jannah. The Shaykh said, as for the text and the hadith, the narrations of the Prophet are many in regard to the virtue of seeking knowledge and gaining knowledge and the virtue of the people of knowledge. تفضل يا شيخ صلى الله عليك
وإليك. وأقدم لكم بعض الوصايا وأحاول أن أختصر فيها. الوصية الأولى أن تصبروا على طلب العلم، لأن هذه العبادة وهذا الطلب يشق على بعض النفوس، يشق عليهم الحفظ والحضور والمذاكرة والقراءة والاستماع، ربما يشق على بعض الناس، فالصبر على ذلك من الأعمال الصالحة، فأحثكم على الصبر والمصابرة على طلب العلم، فلا تتفلتوا ولا تتأخروا عن هذه الحلق العلمية، ولتكن همتكم عالية. نعم.
Our beloved Shaykh continue by saying, and now I will present to you some of the advices, and I will be brief inshallah ta'ala. But the first advice, that you have to have patience. Why seeking knowledge? Because seeking knowledge is an act of worship, and this act of worship becomes hard on many people. A lot of people, they don't have the ability, and it's not easy for them to memorize, not easy for them to attain the gatherings of knowledge, not easy for them to do their homework, not easy for them to read and recite, not easy for many people to listen to the people of knowledge. So therefore, it is very important for us to have patience, and because patience is from the righteous action. So therefore, I invite you, I encourage you, to be patient while seeking knowledge, and don't stay away from these gatherings, and don't be lackadaisical when it comes to come to these blessed gatherings of knowledge of yours. نعم الشيخ صلى الله عليه.
اعلموا يا إخواني أن أي عمل لا يقبله الله سبحانه وتعالى إلا إذا كان خالصا لوجهه الكريم، فلا يقبل الله من الأعمال ما كان فيه رياء أو شرك أو أريد به غير وجهه. فليكن طلبكم للعلم تقربا إلى الله، لأن الله يرضى عنكم إذا طلبتم العلم، فأنتم تبحثون عن مرضاته. ولأن طلبكم للعلم يعينكم على فهم الإسلام والشريعة والسنة والعمل بها، ولأن طلبكم للعلم يعينكم على نفع إخوانكم المسلمين وإنقاذهم ونصحهم وإبلاغ الخير لهم. فإذا نويتم هذه الأمور الطيبة كانت النية صالحة، وكانت النية مما يرضي الله جل وعلا، فأخلصوا لله ولتكن نواياكم فيما يرضيه سبحانه وتعالى. واسألوا الله أن يوفقكم وأن يعيذكم من الشرك ومن الرياء، فإن الشيطان حريص كل الحرص على أن يفسد عمل العبد ويحبط عمله، ولكن إذا استعان المؤمن بالله وجاهد وساوس الشيطان ولجأ إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الله له من كل هم فرجا ووفقه للإخلاص في عباداته كلها.
The Shaykh Habibullah Allah Ta'ala continue, said, and you should all of you know that there is not a single deed, there is not a single deed except that you want to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing it, except that it had to be done only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept from the deed except that which it was done and performed only for His sake. So therefore Allah does not accept from the deed that which is, would contain riya, shawaf, or shirk, or a deed that it was intended behind performing it other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're seeking knowledge. While seeking knowledge, you need to have the intention to get closer to your Lord Allah so He can be pleased with you. And all of you, you are searching and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, learn that which is benefits you so you can learn Islam and this legislation and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and act upon that which you learn. Seeking knowledge by this way will help you to benefit and benefit your brothers and to protect them and to give the advice, sincere advice for the Muslims, and to teach them and disseminate the good amongst them. So he said, whoever intention was like this, it is sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a person who is doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the intention has to be purely for Allah. And you should constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you tawfiq, to grant you success, and to keep you away from falling into showing off or shirk. He said, because indeed the shaitan, who is an open enemy to mankind, he is diligent and eager to corrupt your deeds and to turn you away from the path. But if the servant seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the whispers of the shaitan and seek help with his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him from every difficulty, from every difficulty, and Allah will give him a success for his deeds to be sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just in seeking knowledge, but in all his actions of worship. Ta'amu shaykh sallallahu alayhi.
أيها الإخوة، العلم شريف جدا، وأهل العلم وطلبته هم خير الناس،
في المجتمع الإسلامي، وكلما على قدر العلم وشرفه كثرت أدواؤه والأمراض التي تصيب بعض من يريده، فإنه كلما عز الشيء وشرف وعلى قدره كثرت الصوارف والعوارض التي تعرض له، فعلى المسلم أن يتفطن لهذا. ومن أوجب الأمور عليك أيها المسلم، أيها الطالب للعلم وأيتها الطالبة للعلم، أن تسلكوا سبيل السلف الصالح، فتحذروا من البدع والابتداع في الدين وأهل الأهواء والانحرافات، ولا تأخذوا العلم عنهم ولا تجالسوهم، فإنهم ينشرون سمومهم وبدعهم من حيث لا يشعر الطالب. فليكن طالب العلم على طريقة السلف الصالح أصحاب النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن كان على دربهم، فهذا أول ما يعرض لك الأهواء والآراء والفتن، وهذه من الأعراض التي تصيب من يريد العلم، فليحذر منها أشد الحذر. نعم.
الله عليك. الشيخ said, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, seeking knowledge or knowledge actually is a noble. Seeking knowledge is a noble, very noble, and its people and the students of knowledge likewise. And they are the most noble and the best of all the people in the community, in the Muslim community. And so we should know as well that whenever a person wants to climb high in seeking knowledge, except that the things that may take him away from knowledge will become greater as well. He said that because whenever something becomes precious and expensive, except that the things that are going to take you away from getting it and the obstacles and the hardships, they become in numbers as well. So you have to pay attention to this. He says, so from the most obligatory things upon the students of knowledge, be a male or a female, that you have to follow the path of your rightly guided predecessors and be aware of innovation and newly invented matters in this deen. Likewise, be aware of the people of innovation and the people of desire. Do not take knowledge from them. Do not sit with them. Do not listen to them, that because they disseminate their poison without you paying any attention to that. So rather you have to be, while seeking knowledge, you have to be on the path of the rightly guided predecessors, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever follow their path. And you should know that the first thing that will face you, the first problems and difficulties will face you in this path, in this long path of seeking knowledge, is that you have to face the people of desire and the people who cause trials. So therefore be aware of them and of their evil. Amen, Shaykh.
ليحذر المسلم من الحسد، فإذا رأيت أخا لك أو إذا رأيت أختا لك رزقت حفظا أو رزق حفظا أو فهما ثاقبا، فاحمد الله على هذه النعمة واسأل الله من فضله، ولا تحسد أخاك على ما أنعم الله به عليه. لا تتكبر على إخوانك، لا تغتر بنفسك، ولا يصيبك الإعجاب، عليك بالتواضع. أيضا لا تعجل وتترك التدرج في طلب العلم، فإن طالب العلم إذا استعجل الشيء قبل أوانه ربما يعاقب بحرمانه. فالعلم يحتاج إلى التدرج في المتون، في الفقه تبدأ بالأسهل فالأسهل، تترقى في كتب العلم وشروحها ومتونها، هكذا في الحديث، هكذا في العقيدة، وهكذا في الفنون الأخرى في العلم الشرعي تتدرج ولا تستعجل، ولا يكون همك أن تنتهي في أقرب وقت، وليكن همك أن تفهم وأن يرسخ فيك العلم. لا تكسل عن طلب العلم، لا تترك العمل بما علمك الله. هذه أمور أعيدها، لا يقع في قلبك الحسد، لا تتكبر على إخوانك، لا تغتر وتعجب بنفسك، لا تستعجل في العلم وتبدأ بالصعب وتترك الأسهل. عليك بالتدرج والسلوك الجادة التي عليها العلماء قديما وحديثا. لا تترك العمل بما علمك الله، لا تكسل. وهذه الوصايا كلنا نحتاجها. نعم.
الله عليك الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى. said, so the Muslim who in general and the one who is seeking knowledge, he should be aware first of all of envy, from having some envy for his brothers and sisters. He said, for example, if you see a brother of yours, or he said, of your sister, you see one of your sisters that Allah has given them a great memory, they memorize a lot, or they understand the issues easy, in an easy way, you should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounty to make you like them, and do not envy them. Do not be jealous because of that which Allah has given them. Also, from the thing that we should be aware of while we're on the path of seeking knowledge, we shouldn't be arrogant. Because if that was Allah has given us, be arrogant in regards to our brothers and sisters. We should not be from those people who think that they are better than others. And we should not be proud and look at ourselves. Rather, we should be modest. Rather, we should be modest of that which Allah has given us, and be modest around our brothers and sisters. Likewise, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala said, we should not be hasty. We should not be from those people that are hasty. Rather, we should seek knowledge little by little, step by step. Because, as one of the statements say, whoever was hasty and wants to learn everything at one time, he will be punished by not learning anything at all. He said, rather, the student of knowledge, he has to choose from the mutun, the text, whether in fiqh or the like of this, the easiest one. Start with those who are easy and go to those who in the second level, and choose some text of in hadith, in fiqh, in aqidah, and in all other fields of the legislation. And don't be hasty. Rather, what you have to be mindful of is that you understand. Is that you understand what you read and what you're studying. Not that all your concern be that you may finish this book in shortest time. So, and also be aware of being lackadaisical or being lazy, and don't leave acting upon that which you know. Don't leave off acting upon that which Allah has taught you. So therefore the Shaykh said, these are the things and guidelines that we all need take advantage of them and implement them while we are seeking knowledge. But we should not have no envy for one another, be jealous. We should not be arrogant, and we should not be proud because of that which Allah has given us. And we should not be hasty. Rather, we have to be gentle and to be patient, and we should act upon that which Allah has taught us. And therefore, indeed, this is the path of the scholar. And we have to follow this path in seeking knowledge, those in the past or those in the present time.
نعم يا شيخ. الله إليك. من أعظم الأخطاء التي يقع فيها بعض الناس أنهم يتطاولون على أهل العلم وعلى علماء المسلمين، يتطاولون عليهم ويزدرونهم، وربما إذا خالفوهم في مسألة
فرجحوا غير ترجيحهم احتقروهم، هذا خطأ كبير ومصاب عظيم وداء يجب الحذر منه. فعلى طالب العلم أن يتأدب مع أهل العلم ويحترمهم. وأنا أحيلكم في هذه الوصايا وغيرها إلى رسالة أو كتاب مفيد اسمه حلية طالب العلم لفضيلة الشيخ بكر بن عبد الله أبو زيد، وقد شرحه شيخنا محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى شرحا بالأشرطة، وقد طبع أيضا مكتوبا نسخ من الأشرطة. فأحيلكم على هذا، فإن تعلم الأدب وأدب الطلب من المسائل التي كان يحرص عليها السلف، حتى كان بعضهم يحضر عند الإمام أحمد ويقول تعلمت الأدب في مجلس الإمام أحمد. وكان الإمام أحمد له شيخ مكث معه 4 سنوات يقول هبت أن أسأله إلا في مرة أو مرتين. كل هذا من الاحترام والتأدب مع أهل العلم من غير غلو، لكن لا نسلك طريقة المتطاولين الجافين ولا نسلك أيضا طريقة الغالين، ولكن نتأدب مع علمائنا ونحترمهم حتى نستفيد منهم. نعم.
Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala continue by saying, and from the major mistake that many people fall into, that while seeking knowledge, they show no respect to the people of knowledge. They show no respect to the scholars of this deen. Perhaps that they may find that the people of knowledge, they may differ with them in an issue, and these people, they go and deal and take that which they think is right. And he said this is a great danger upon them. And this is no doubt the disease, the fatal disease that we all should be aware of. Rather, seeking knowledge, while seeking knowledge, we have to show some respect and good manners with our with the people of knowledge. He said, and the Shaykh said, and I will mention this book for you that will be of a great benefit for you to learn the adab and the etiquette, the good etiquette that the students of knowledge should have while learning from the scholars, which is the book Hilyat al-Talib al-Ilm, the etiquette of speaking knowledge by the Shaykh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd Hafidahullah. And this little book is being explained by our Shaykh, our beloved Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, and it is available in tape CD cassette. Likewise, it was now it is found in a book as well. So therefore we have to learn manners and good etiquette, and the learning the etiquette and having and displaying the good manners while speaking knowledge, this was from the ways of the Salaf, and they were diligent into learning the etiquette while they speak in knowledge. He said one of the people of knowledge said that he heard Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala saying that the people, they should learn adab, they should have should learn etiquette while they speak in knowledge. Another person said that he stayed with Imam Ahmad rahimahullah learning from him 4 years. He said he didn't ask Imam Ahmad except once or 2 times. He said this is so the etiquette that we should be moderate. Likewise, we should not be from those people who they don't pay no mind to these things, and they don't show no respect to the people of knowledge, nor we should be from the other side that the people they mix between a good etiquette and being diligent and not to ask the people of knowledge of the like of this. So therefore he said it's very important upon the student of knowledge to speak knowledge while displaying and learning the etiquette of speaking knowledge and how to deal with the people of knowledge. نعم يا شيخ.
وإليكم. هذه المتون التي ستدرسونها مع المشايخ الكرام ينبغي أن يكون هناك تحضير واستعداد قبل الدرس بقراءة الكتاب أو النص الذي يمكن أن يشرحه الشيخ، تقرأه مرة ومرتين وتحاول أن تفهمه فهما عاما، ثم إذا جاء الدرس تنتبه لما يقوله الشيخ المدرس، وبعد انتهاء ذلك الدرس تراجع وتحاول أن تفهم وتسجل الأمور التي لم تستوعبها حتى تراجع فيها الشيخ وتسأله عما لم تفهمه، وبعد ذلك تذاكر مع إخوانك وأصحابك وزملائك في الطلب. فالمذاكرة مع إخوانك تعين على ضبط هذه المسائل. كذلك إذا تيسر أن تحفظ المتن إذا كان المتن مناسبا للحفظ، تنظم وقتك في يومك، وقت للقرآن حفظا وقراءة وتدبرا، ووقت لحديث حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حفظا ومراجعة وتفهما، ووقتا لمراجعة هذه المتون والدروس التي أنتم بصددها. وأيضا عليك بالدعاء أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يرزقك العلم النافع، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أشرف الخلق وأعلم الخلق بالله، وقل رب زدني علما، فتسأل الله جل وعلا أن يرزقك العلم النافع والعمل الصالح. نعم.
الله عليك. So the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he said this mutum, which is this text that he said that you are about to be studying with the Mashayikh, with the noble scholars, said you have to read them and prepare them and check them before the class. Once, read them once or twice, try to understand them, try to have a general idea of the text first. And while the Shaykh is giving the explanation, then pay attention to what the Shaykh is saying, pay attention to whatever he says. And after the class is over, go and review your notes, review what the Shaykh was saying, and then after that you may take a notebook and write down the things that you still have a problem of understanding them, so that you may ask the Shaykh for the next class, you ask the Shaykh about what you didn't understand. Likewise, one of the things he said is going to help us getting a great benefit from these classes is that what you have to get together with your brothers and review the class. Review the class so you can check with the brothers that which you missed perhaps. Likewise, from the things that are going to help you gain a great benefit and a great deal from these classes, try, if it's possible, to memorize the text of these books and organize your day, organize your time in a day. Take a time of it to memorize the Quran, to memorize what you can from the Book of Allah, to have an understanding of it. And likewise, some other time, to memorize the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and try to understand it. And another time, to review these classes that you had with the noble scholars. And don't forget to make dua and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the beneficial knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his command to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of all the creation. And Allah said to him, and say, in Surah Taha, and say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Naam ya Shaykh, sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Wa ana akhtim hadhihi al-kalima bi du'ai ad'u Allah jalla wa ala lakum bit tawfiq wa sadad wa an يحفظكم بالإسلام وأن يحفظ الإسلام بكم وأن ينفع بكم إخوانكم المسلمين وأن تكونوا دعاة إلى الله تنقذون من ضل عن الصراط المستقيم وتدلونه عليه. ونسأل الله جل وعلا أن يصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان وأن يكشف ما حل بهم ونزل بهم من بلاء وأن يردهم إلى لزوم السنة والجماعة وأن يعيذهم من البدعة والشذوذ والفرقة وأن يجمع كلمتهم ويصلح قادتهم وأن يكفيهم شر أعدائهم. وأدعو الله جل وعلا لأخي المترجم بأن يجزيه الله خير الجزاء على هذه الترجمة، وكذلك الإخوة القائمين على ترتيب الدروس، فنسأل الله أن يجزيهم خيرا. وأنتم أيها الإخوة المستمعون جزاكم الله خيرا على استماعكم وحرصكم، ووفقكم الله وسدد خطاكم، وأرجو لكم التوفيق، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا. بعد الترجمة نعرض عليكم بعض الأسئلة.
حفظه الله تعالى.
طيب.
أنا include by making a dua for you and I'm asking Allah سبحانه وتعالى to grant you success and that Allah preserve you by applying and understanding Islam, and may Allah preserve Islam by you by understanding it, and that you may be from those people who call to Allah upon basira, upon knowledge, and that you may, because of that which you learned and memorized and understood, that you may save and protect those people who they fall into the path of error and misguidance, and bring them by the will of Allah to the path that is straight and that is upright. And he said, may Allah rectify the affairs of the Muslims, and may Allah remove that which befall them from calamities and trials. And he said, so therefore I incite you to hold on firm to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and be with the jama'ah, with the group of the Muslims who are upon the book of Allah and the sunnah. He said, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and safeguard us from innovation and from division. He said, may Allah rectify the affairs of the rulers of the Muslims. And he said, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant good to the brother who was translating and for this translation. Likewise, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant good all those brothers who are behind this great effort, who making given the opportunity for the Muslims to learn from these last classes. Likewise, I make dua for Allah to grant good all of you that are participating in this event, in this blessed classes by listening. May Allah grant success to all of you and safeguard you. And until the next time, the Shaykh said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم على هذه النصائح الذهبية. نسأل الله جل وعلا أن ينفعنا بما سمعنا وأن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناتكم. بارك الله فيكم. We thank our noble Sheikh for this much needed lecture and golden advices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us benefit from today's lecture, which will surely help us in reaping the fruits of knowledge. Brothers and sisters in Islam, those of you who are not aware of our intensive courses in Islamic sciences, please note that we have started intensive courses in Islamic sciences which will be tutored by senior scholars of our time, inshallah ta'ala. For now, we will be covering Aqeedah and Fiqh subjects. And for Aqeedah, we will be going through a very important book, Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'ah, The Four Principles. This book was authored by Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Shaykh Al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And for Fiqh, we will be going over the book, Ad-Durar Al-Bahiyya, Al-Imam Al-Shawkani, Rahimahullah. All participating students will be awarded certificates, and at the end of course, prizes will be distributed, inshallah. For more information, please visit www.albasira.org, albasera.org, or you may email at course, course, at albasira.org. And now, before we proceed with the question-answer session, we would like to remind you of two important matters. One, before posting new questions, check to see if they have already been answered. Two, please do your best. Be as short and as possible and make sure that your question is to the point. جزاكم الله خيرا. والآن إلى الأسئلة حفظكم الله. سائلة تقول: هل يجوز لها أن تعمل كمحاسبة أو ما يسمون خدمات العملاء بدون النقاب، أي أنها تلبس الجلباب ولكن بدون غطاء الوجه أو يدين، أم عملها بكشف الوجه ويدين حرام؟ هل يعتبر عملها بكشف الوجه ويدين حرام؟ The question is, am I allowed to work as a customer service or cashier if I will not wear the niqab? I do wear the jilbab though, and only my face and hands are shown. So can I work like that, or is it haram for me to work like that? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
نعم. الجواب: يجب على المرأة المسلمة أن تستجيب لأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى حيث أمر المسلمات بالحجاب وعدم إبداء الزينة، وأعظم الزينة ومجمع الزينة في المرأة وجهها، ودلت الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على وجوب تغطية المرأة لوجهها، وهذا الأمر لا يستثنى منه إلا القواعد من النساء، المرأة الكبيرة العجوز التي لا تشتهى، لأن الله جل وعلا قال: القواعد من النساء اللاتي لا يرجون نكاحا فليس عليهن جناح أن يضعن ثيابهن غير متبرجات بزينة وأن يستعففن خير لهن. فدلت الآية على أن المرأة الكبيرة التي لا تشتهى لا حرج عليها في وضع الثياب، يعني عدم تغطية الوجه لو بدأ شيء من يدها أو شيء من قدمها أو نحو ذلك، لأنها لا تشتهى. أما المرأة الشابة والمرأة الجميلة وعامة النساء التي لسنا كهذه المرأة، فالأصل عليها وجوب الحجاب، فإن قدرت أن تعمل مع وجود الشروط الشرعية مع حجابها فنرجو أن لا حرج، وإن لم تقدر فتترك هذا العمل وتبحث عن عمل ليس فيه محذور شرعي، وهذا في وجهة نظري والله أعلم. نعم.
شيخ حفظه الله تعالى، the answer to this question, that is incumbent upon the Muslim women to answer the command of Allah when He commanded the Muslim women to wear the hijab, the proper wearing, and they should not display their beauty. And He said, and the best and the most attractive beauty of the woman is her face, is her face. He said, and many are the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows that to the obligation of covering the face, that the woman should cover her face. And this command for all the women, for the exception to the older woman, the very old woman, that a man have no desire for her, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except for the old women, those who they don't wish for any marriage. It is no harm upon them to put down some of their clothing, but not to display their adornment, but to cover their beauty and to cover themselves properly, it is better for them. He said this ayah, this verse, shows clearly that this is it is permissible only for the older women to display some of their bodies, the like of their face, actually to show their face or their hand. And especially because this is a woman that described in the ayah as a very old woman that don't desire no marriage. But as for the young woman, a beautiful woman, and the general women who are not like this woman that I mentioned in the ayah, the principle is that they are obliged to wear the proper hijab. So therefore, based on this, if this woman that is asking, if she can work in this job, but by her fulfilling the conditions of the proper hijab, that is okay, it is permissible. Other than that, it is not permissible for her. She has to leave that job and find another job where she can display the proper hijab.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم فضيلة الشيخ حفظكم الله. هذا سؤال يتعلق بالواشمة. سائل يقول: رجل على ذراعه وكتفه الأيمن وشم ويريد الذهاب إلى الحج ولا يدري إن كان يجب عليه إزالته أم لا، مع العلم أن أحد هذه الوشمة لصليب وصليب صليب صليب وإزالة هذا الوشم قد يكلف شيء كثير أو من المال. The question is about a tattoo. A man has tattoo on his right arm and shoulder and wants to go to Hajj, but he does not know if he should remove them before he goes or not. Keep in mind that one of them is a tattoo of a cross, and that removing that costs a lot of money. أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الجواب: الوشم من الأمور المحرمة في الإسلام على الرجال والنساء، وكذلك يزداد الأمر تحريما إذا كان على شكل صليب، ولكن إذا عجز عن إزالته أو كان في ذلك كلفة مالية لا يقدر عليها أو تشق عليه مشقة بالغة، فهو حينئذ إذا تاب من ذلك العمل توبة صادقة ليس عليه حرج، ولكن عليه متى ما قدر أن يزيله. وأما بالنسبة للحج فلا يؤثر وجود الوشم على الحج، بمعنى أنه لو حج في هذه السنة والوشم عليه فحجه صحيح ولا ينقص من أجر حجه شيء، والله أعلم.
The Shaykh Hafidah Allah Ta'ala, he said, as for tattoos, he said tattoos and tattooing are from the things that are not permissible, and therefore forbidden in Islam, whether for men or for women, But likewise, this prohibition increases if that which the people they may put on their bodies is the cross. He said, so but as related to this question, if a person was unable to remove this cross or the tattoo, or perhaps there is a way to remove it, but it costs a lot of money, and the person has no ability and no means to do so, or perhaps he may does so, but it becomes a hardship on him, and it presents a great harm by removing it. He said, if a person make a tawbah, and he know that this is something that was forbidden, and make sincere tawbah and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore there is no harm upon this person. Likewise, but whenever he has the ability to remove it, he has to do so. He said, as for the making a hajj for this person, his hajj is okay, inshallah ta'ala, and he won't be afflicted by this tattoo. So, for example, if a person has this tattoo and he made a hajj this year, he said, inshallah, his hajj is correct and that tattoo won't interfere with his hajj. Na'am.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. سائلة تقول أنها ترضع طفلها ذو عمر 14 شهر وهي حامل منذ 3 أشهر تقريبا، ولقد أخبرت، أي هذا سائلة تقول، ولقد أخبرت من قبل بعض الأخوات أنها لا يجوز لها أن ترضع وهي حامل، فما قولكم؟ The question is, I have a 14 month child who is still on breastfeeding, and I'm also 3 months pregnant. Some sisters keep telling me that I should stop doing this, as they have read in the Quran that it is harmful to my body. So what is your opinion? فما قولكم أفيدون بارك الله فيكم.
الجواب أن الحامل لا حرج عليها أن ترضع طفلها الآخر، والتي قالت لها إن ذلك لا يجوز تطالب بأن تتكلم بعلم وبدليل، وأما أن تتكلم بغير علم ولا دليل فهذا خطأ، فلا حرج عليها ولا شيء عليها إذا أرضعت وهي حامل، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, by answering this question, he said, as for the pregnant woman, as for the woman while she's pregnant, there is no harm upon her if she wants to breastfeed the other baby. And as for the woman that told her that it's not permissible for her to do so, she should be asked to talk with knowledge, to talk while she has knowledge with her which to say, and to present her proof. And so therefore, as for her telling her this, this is a mistake and this is wrong. So for this woman who breastfeed her 14-month baby while she's pregnant, it is nothing wrong with this and nothing against her, and Allah knows this.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. سائر يسأل عن الفدية وإطعام المسكين، يقول ما هو تعريف المسكين وهل يطبق هذا في أمريكا، أي كأنها هل يطبق هذا في بلاد الغنية مثل أمريكا؟
تطعم في أمريكا يعني؟
أي، فإن لم يكن فهل يجوز إرسال المبلغ من المال إلى البلد الفقيرة أو البلاد الفقيرة؟ The question is, when you cannot fast and you are to feed a poor person every day, what is the fiqh of a poor person, and does it apply here in America? If not, do we send money to a poor country? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
يعني هي تسأل عن الفدية في الحج؟
لا يا شيخ حفظكم الله، الفدية للصوم.
الفدية للصوم نعم.
أي.
الجواب الفدية لمن أفطر لعذر كالكبير الذي لا يقدر على الصوم إطعام مسكين، والمسكين عند العلماء هو الذي لا يجد نصف حاجته، يعني يجد بعضها وينقص عليه بعضها، والفقير عند العلماء هو الذي لا يجد الحاجة ولا يجد كفايته أو يجد أقل من النصف. فمثلا لو أن رجلا لديه زوجة وأولاد وراتبه الذي يأتيه في الشهر لا يكفي أسرته من جهة الطعام والشراب والسكنى، ويحتاج إلى أن يسأل الناس و يبحث عن من يعطيه إعانات، هذا يسمى مسكين. وآخر ليس عنده راتب البتة، هذا يسمى فقير. والأصل أن المسلم يعطي الفقراء في البلد الذي هو فيه، وبما أن البلد الذي أنتم فيه ليس بلد إسلام، فإن وجد مسلمون تعطونهم أجزأت، وإلا فتدفعونها إلى بلد فيه المسلمون حتى يتم وصول الصدقة إلى محلها، والله أعلم.
الله عليك. Our noble Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he said, as for the expiation, for example here, it is pertaining to a person who breaks his fast because of a valid reason. For example, the elder man who, or the elder people, person who doesn't have the ability to fast, so they have to feed the poor person and the needy. And the miskin, the needy, to the, he said, the Shaykh, as described and defined by the people of knowledge, who cannot find even half of that which he needs. Or, in another way, he has some of the things that he needs, but he's missing other things. As for the poor, the faqir, he is the one who doesn't have nothing, period, or have less than the half of that which he actually needs to survive. So, for example, a person who is married, therefore he has a wife and children, but his monthly salary that he makes is not enough for all his family to bring food and drink or to pay for the rent. So therefore, this person, he finds himself in the end of every month in a position to go and ask the people. So this is a miskin, this is a needy. And so in the other hand, you might find a person who have no job, no monthly salary, period. This is a poor person. He said, and the principle pertaining to this issue is that the person who should feed this poor and the needy people, he should feed them in the place and the country where he resides. He said, but as you ask in your question, in the country where you are is not a Muslim country, and if first he has to try to find if there is Muslims in that non-Muslim country, you give them first. If there is no Muslims and no poor Muslims in that country you reside in, then it is okay, insha'Allah ta'ala, to send that which is enough to feed other poor people in other Muslim countries, and Allah knows best.
أحسن الله إليكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. سائل يقول: رجل عندما تزوج وعد زوجته التي أسلمت حديثا أنه لن يتزوج عليها، والآن قد غير رأيه، فهل يجب عليها، أي على الزوجة، أن ترضى بذلك، أو أنها تستطيع أن تطالب الطلاق بسبب ذلك، مع العلم بأن زوجها الآن تعلم أن زواج أو أن تعدد حلالا شرعا. The question is, if a husband makes a promise when he married a sister who was new to Islam that he would not take a second wife, and then changes his mind later in the marriage, does the first wife has to accept this, or does she have the right to divorce based on this? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
هذا الرجل إن كان قد وعد زوجته بأن شرط ذلك في العقد أثناء عقد النكاح أو معه، يعني بمنزلة الشرط في العقد، فحينئذ يجب عليه أن يوفي بشرطه، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أحق الشروط أن توفوا به ما استحللتم به الفروج. وبناء على هذا، فلو خالف الشرط فلها حق الفسخ، ولها أن تطالبه بفسخ النكاح معه لأنه خالف الشرط، وهذا التصرف لا يجوز له حينئذ إلا إذا رضيت هي وتنازلت عن حقها. وأما إذا لم يكن هذا شرطا في العقد ولم يشترط عليه في العقد شيء، وإنما هو كلام يعني جرى على لسانه كالوعد أو كالكلام، فهذا لا ينبغي له أن يخالف كلامه. وكون المرأة تؤمن بأن الله شرع وأباح التعدد لا ينافي ما يقع في نفسها من الغيرة أو من المطالبة بحقها، فتراجع إن شاءت إذا كانت هي في بلد أمريكا مثلا المركز الإسلامي أو العلماء قريبين منها، وتشرح لهم الموضوع ويحل إن شاء الله الأمر بالمراجعة والتثبت مما سألت عنه السائلة، والله أعلم.
The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala, he answered this question by saying, if this man who married this woman has promised her, has made his promise for her, and therefore it was a condition and a stipulation. It was a stipulation in the marriage contract. It was stipulated in the marriage contract that what she said in the question. So it is incumbent upon this man to fulfill this condition and to respect this stipulation. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, from those stipulations that you have to fulfill the most is that which you have made and those promises you give to this woman, that it become permissible for you to have intercourse with them. So he said, so after this, if this person not fulfilling this promise and this stipulation, so that gives the right to that woman to ask for a nullification for the marriage contract. A nullification and ask for the marriage contract to be void. He said, because this man, he went against one of the stipulations of the marriage contract, which is not permissible for him to go against them, except if she is pleased and give him the okay to do so. He said, but if this, what the woman has spoken in the question, is not a stipulation in the marriage contract, but rather this is something that he said to her verbally by his mouth, by words of the mouth that he promised her, fear is not permissible for him. It's not befitting for him actually to go against that which he said to her by his tongue. He said, and therefore the fact that it is mentioned in the question that this woman believed now, after she learned her deen and she believed that polygyny is permissible in the deen, he said this doesn't go against her asking for her right to be preserved and to be fulfilled. Rather, she has to go to the, to turn her affair to the ulama, if something happened like this to the people of knowledge, to go to the nearest Islamic center that is take care of the affairs of the Muslim, so they can find a solution to her problem, of course, after checking her statements and the statement of the spouse of the likeness. Now,
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. سائل يقول, ما هو أصل إقسام التوحيد الثلاثة؟ لماذا ليس هناك أربعة أو اثنين؟ The question is, what are the basis of the three categories of توحيد? Why not two? Why not four? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الجواب أن التوحيد هو مأخوذ من الكتاب والسنة, ووجدنا بالنظر والتأمل والاستقراء في الآيات والأحاديث أن إفراد الله جل وعلا يكون في ثلاثة أشياء وردت بها الأحاديث. الأول وهو أعظمها إفراده بالعبادة وهو توحيد الألوهية, والثاني إفراده بالخلق والملك والتدبير وهو توحيد الربوبية, وهذا قد أقر به أغلب المشركين, والثالث توحيد الأسماء والصفات, إفراد الله جل وعلا بما يستحقه من الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى. فهذا مأخوذ من الاستقراء مثل ما يقوله أهل كل علم واختصاص. يعني يقول أهل الرياضيات مثلا العدد إما زوجي وإما فردي, لماذا لم يكن هناك شيء ثالث؟ نقول لأنه لا يوجد ثالث. استقرأوا ونظروا في الأرقام فوجدوها لا تخرج عن هذا. وأهل اللغة يقولون الكلام إما اسم وإما فعل وإما حرف, لماذا لا يوجد رابع؟ ولماذا هم ثلاثة؟ لماذا لا يكون؟ لأن هذا هو الموجود وهو. فهكذا نقول في أقسام التوحيد إنها مأخوذة من استقراء النصوص. لماذا أركان الإسلام خمسة؟ نقول لأن هذا الذي جاءت به النصوص. لماذا الأحكام واجب ومحرم ومكروه ومستحب ومباح؟ لماذا لا نجعل قسما سادسا؟ لماذا لا نختصرها؟ نقول لأن هذا مأخوذ بالاستقراء والنظر في نصوص الشارع. ف فهكذا أقسام التوحيد عند التأمل في الآيات والأحاديث تجدها لا تخرج عن هذه الأصول الثلاثة، والله أعلم.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى in answering this sixth question he said the tawheed which is singling out Allah Ta'ala in worship is taken from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, and we find, and the Shaykh means the people of knowledge, he said, we find by contemplation and by pondering and by reading this text that and of the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in three things. The first one and the most important of all the three is to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, and this is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of worship. The second one is to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the only one who creates, He's the one who has the dominion over all His creation, and He's the one who has the control over them, which is known as Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed of Lordship, with the majority of the polytheists they agree to. And the third one is to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His lofty and sublime names and attributes, which is known as Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the Tawheed of the names and the attributes. And as we mentioned, this is taken from the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After reading them, contemplating upon them and pondering upon them. He says, for example, we give you an example. For the other people of knowledge, who Allah has given them knowledge in other fields of and specialties. For example, when the scholars of math and arithmetic, they said that the numbers are add or even. They are either even. Why? Nobody say why there is no third classification for the numbers other than add and even. It's because there is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Likewise, he said, to the people of grammar and the lugha and the language of Arabic or any other, they said that the word is whether a noun or a verb or a preposition, a letter. He said, why? There is no, a fourth one, because there is no such thing. This is what it is found with these people who, their specialty is language. Likewise, he said, why a person will say, why the pillars of Islam are five? Why they are not six, for example? He said, this is what is found in the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another example, why people say that the ruling, the ahkam, they are not six, why they only five? Which is obligatory, which is permissible, dislike, and the like of this, and recommended. Why they are not six? He said, because this is what is found after reading the ayat, after studying the text of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. But likewise, these divisions and categories of a tawheed, they will never go beyond these three aspects and these three categories. Naam.
أحسن الله إليكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. سائر يقول طيب الشيخ حفظكم الله بارك الله فيكم. السائر يقول هل يجوز لرجل أن يعمل في مكان يبيع فيه الباروكة ووصلات الشعر وفي أغلب الأوقات لغير المسلمين مع العلم أنهم في بعض الأحيان يبيعهم للمسلمين. The question is it permissible for a man to work in a place where he sells wigs and hair extensions to non-Muslims, mostly. However, he may also sell it to Muslims as well. أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الجواب والله أعلم بيع الباروكة ووصل الشعر حرام وبيعها لغير المسلمين هذا مبني على أن الكفار هل هم مخاطبون بفروع الشريعة أم لا، والمشهور عند المحققين من أهل الأصول أنهم يقولون هم مخاطبون بفروع الشريعة، بمعنى أنهم يأثمون على تصرفاتهم المخالفة للشريعة حتى لو لم يسلموا، يعني يزدادون إثما مع إثم الكفر الذي هم عليه، ولهذا يقولون يوم القيامة لم نكن من المصلين، مع أن التوحيد أعظم والإسلام أعظم. فيدل هذا على تحريم بيعها حتى لهؤلاء، ولهذا ينبغي أن يتنزه ويتورع المسلم في بيعه وشرائه، فلا يبيع إلا ما أحل الله له، ويترك ما حرم الله جل وعلا، وسيجعل الله له فرجا ومخرجا، ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا، والله أعلم.
Well, the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala, he said, the answer to this question, and Allah knows best, that filling the extension and wig, the hair extension and wigs are haram, not permissible. And filling them for other than the Muslims, he said this is relevant to this situation, whether the kuffar, which is the non-Muslims, are a part of those who are addressed to adhere to the branches of the legislation or not. He said that which is famous from the statements of the people of knowledge is that yes, indeed, the non-Muslims, they are commanded as well to adhere to the branches of the legislations and the ahkam and the rulings and the regulations of the legislation, and therefore they are sinners if they don't act upon this command, because they go against the legislation, even though they are not Muslims. So therefore, you know that they increase sin to their sins, the fact they are not Muslims, and the fact that they fall into that which is haram, and they neglect that which is they commanded with, they increase the sin to the already sin for the fact they are not Muslim. And so therefore this is a proof that it is not permissible to sell this hair extension or their wigs to other than the Muslim. Rather, the Muslim should stay away from these things and sell only that which is permissible in the legislation of Islam, and that sell only that which Allah has made permissible for him to sell, and to stay away from that which Allah has made forbidden for him. And if he does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an easy way for him and provide for him, as Allah has mentioned in the Quran, and whoever fear Allah, Allah will make a way out for him from difficulty.
عندي إضافة. أتمنى وأود أن تعرضوا هذا السؤال وتنبه السائل والإخوة المستمعين أن تعرضوا هذا السؤال على أحد العلماء الأفاضل أيضا مرة أخرى، وربما يكون عنده مزيد علم، ولأني حقيقة أتمنى أن نطمئن أكثر في الإجابة على هذا السؤال، فلعلكم أيضا تسألون أحد كبار العلماء في نفس هذا الموضوع وتبين هذا للسائل الكريم والإخوة المستمعين، حتى يعني ينتبهوا لإجابة العالم في هذا الموضوع، وجزاكم الله خيرا.
جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه said that it would be more comforting to him and he advised us that we take this question to one of the kibar ulama, so that inshallah ta'ala they can give us a more detailed answer for this particular question. وفي الحقيقة عندنا أسئلة كثيرة حفظكم الله، ولكن لعلنا نكتفي بهذا القدر. وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء العلمي المبارك نكرر الشكر لفضيلة الشيخ فهد الفحيد حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه لإتاحة هذه الفرصة الطيبة فجزاه الله خيرا ولا يسعنا إلا نشكره وندعو له ونسأل الله أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته.
جزاكم الله خير. شكرا شكرا.
ولكم أنتم أيها المستمعون والمستمعات كذلك الشكر على مجيئكم وحضوركم وحسن المتابعة، ونسأل الله أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. Brothers and sisters, after thanking our honorable Sheikh for making himself available for us today, we thank you all as well for your time, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who act according to their knowledge. And I was just informed that many brothers and sisters could not log in and listen to the lectures from our website. We apologize, and the reason is that our stream server has reached its maximum number allowed. So we are very sorry and apologize to all those who encountered this problem. Inshallah ta'ala, we will definitely look into this matter. And barakallahu feekum. And with this, we conclude our today's session. فَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَإِلَىٰ لِقَاءٍ آخَرٍ نَسْتَوْعِلُكُمُ اللَّهُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاكم الله خير.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
شكرا شيخ
زين، شكرا لأبي محمد وجزاكم الله خيرا، والسلام عليكم. في أمان.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
الله يجزيكم خير. في أمان الله. السلام عليكم.